All exams? Okay, very good, very good. All right, let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus to give you glory and honor and praise. Lord God, to say thank you. We are so grateful, Lord God, for all that you're saying, for all that you're doing. We take this opportunity, Lord God, to say thank you for our apostle. Thank you for the revelation, Lord God, that you're giving unto him for us, Lord God. Father, we set our hearts to always be grateful, Father, for what you're doing and for what you're saying. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise and blessing and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There are a lot of things that I'd like to accomplish tonight, but we're going to see how we're going to go because we're learning to flow. Am I right? We're learning to flow. How many of you were here for the special meeting on prayer? Okay. When I looked around in the sanctuary, I saw so many of the students, and it was so exciting. I said, man, look at all the students. I'm hoping that some of our online students, that you were also present. But if you were not present for that special meeting, it was October 12th, right? Last Monday, during what would have been Word of Life Christian Center's regular prayer meeting. But instead of the prayer meeting, a special session was called where Apostle taught us on prayer. Who remembers the topic? Praying grace. Praying grace. Okay. Now, I mean, I don't think that's all. I think that he's going to call another one. It was just that good. My hope and my prayer for you is that you didn't just sit in that session and say, man, what a great message. That was so good, and didn't look at it again. Because it's the kind of message that you got to go over and go over and go over until you get it down in your spirit. Because it was so important. I am one of the intercessors here at Word of Life Christian Center. And when we get together, you know, briefly, we always talk about how our prayer lives have changed. You know, we know that there is something going on. We can't put it into words, but we can tell you that something's going on as a result of what we're learning. You know, I'm still stuck on the message on praying from our heavenly position. You know, because I guess I was looking over this lesson today and I kept thinking, I said, for so long, you know, I came up in a generation where they had CBs, you know, shortwave radio kind of things. But, you know, I could see us for years and years and years, earth calling heaven. Jesus, are you there? You know, but what we learned in that class was that we are seated in a heavenly position. And we have authority to say to earth, get it straight.
That's right. That's
this
right.
is not in line with what my Father has said.
Right.
You know, and when you start to look at it, you know, instead of earth calling heaven, you're talking about heaven calling earth.
Amen.
Get it straight. And, you know, and it's just so different. But then last week when Apostle began to talk to us about praying grace, and he asked the question, have you ever heard that before? Anybody ever heard a message on praying grace? No? Okay. How many of y'all got your notes? Got any notes from that? Okay. Oh, by the way, y'all going to see some of that again. Maybe not in this class, but, you know, hint, hint, you're gonna see it again. If you weren't present for the session, you still have an opportunity to go back to the archives. It is there. The title is Praying Grace. The date is October the 12th, 2015. for the benefit of our online students, then you can also go back to the archives and look at it. The information was just so good and so profound. Pull your notes out. We're going to take about 5 minutes. Tonight we are going to start chapter 3, what is prayer and why do we need to pray? That's chapter 3. But for the first 5 minutes or so, let's talk about the meeting on last Monday night and praying grace. What did you get? Tell some. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, right. You heard that? Okay. He said, say it again, Dougie. Grace praying life must be filled with thanksgiving.
Because it's already yours.
You know, I like, he gave that, the little phrase, it's already done. Yes, ma'am. Give me your name.
LaTanya,
okay.
Wow.
Now, you want to remember that. You want to remember that. Proper connection between faith and grace. Yes, ma'am, Miss Esther.
Prayer is no longer an appeal, but a proper approach to receiving.
No longer an appeal. No longer an appeal. But it's a proper approach to receive. Yes, ma'am, Miss Monique. And then I'll come back. Okay, reverse the curse and receive the blessing. Wait just a minute. Yes, sir. It's never on the transmission end. It's on the receiving end. Okay, you, sir, and then you, sir.
Every prayer I pray properly, he answers instantly.
Oh, wow. Every prayer I pray properly, God answers instantly. And what happens is that because, okay, he answers instantly. But remember, and that's a part of our lesson tonight, it's spiritual, okay? And you've got to know in the spirit it's already done. You know, he has already answered, okay? And just because I don't see it physically or naturally doesn't mean a thing, you know? And that's why we can be, let's go back to Dougie's Thanksgiving. That's why you can always stay joyful and in thanksgiving, in spite of, because I know I have prayed according to God's word. Yes, sir.
You said prayer is no longer an approach, it's an appeal for us to receive.
Yeah. She said that. Yes, sir.
Okay. If you can't thank him before you receive it, you haven't prayed.
That's it. If you can't thank him before you receive it, you haven't prayed. And that was in answer to the question, you know, how do I know I'm praying in faith? Remember he said that. How do you know you're praying in faith? If I can't thank him. Yep, that's it. Yes, ma'am.
When I learn praying grace, I'll have supernatural confidence.
Supernatural confidence. That's right. That's right. And the scripture for that, did you have it in your note? Okay, it's 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Okay, all right, that's enough. Okay, but I do encourage y'all to go back, you know, even if you were here, you know, listen to it again. For those of you online and here who didn't have an opportunity to be present or to watch it, then go ahead and do so. Like I said, some of this you will see again. Let me see. I had some asterisks here. All right. Yeah. How do I know when I prayed in faith? Remember, he talked to us about doubt, double-mindedness, deception, distraction. Okay. Ma'am?
Hindered,
yeah, it does. It hinders, blocks it. He says when God moves, he moves in the spirit realm. Remember that. You know, we're here in the natural and we're always looking, you know, for everything that God is doing in the natural. Well, we don't always see it in the natural. How do we know it? We know it by what his word says. Remember? Okay. All right. And then I had, I even wrote down the seals. Look at that, y'all. I wrote down the seals. But go ahead, you listen to it again, and then you'll get those seals. It was great. It was great. That's all I have to tell you. Okay. So tonight we're beginning a new chapter. And the chapter, remember I told you our author did things a little different from what we would normally think, because he didn't start with what is prayer. He started with communion, and then he started with the purpose of prayer. And now he's going to tell us what is prayer and why do we need to pray. He starts the chapter off by telling us what prayer is not. He says it's not a monologue or a vain repetition of words. I like the way Reverend Montrell said it. You know, it's not vain babblings. Okay? Matthew 6 and 7, and it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. And y'all have heard vain repetitions. You know, a lot of us came from other churches, and we could tell you what the deacon was going to say, you know, when he prayed. Every time he prayed, we could tell you, because he's going to say the same words. Sometimes he may have understood, maybe he didn't even understood. He got it from his grandfather, who got it from his grandfather, and so they just say the same things without understanding. Amen? But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's what Matthew 6 and 7 says. He says prayer is not something we do to fulfill some kind of quota with God. It's not a religious exercise. It's not asking God for favor or a way to escape a guilty conscience. And then he says it's not a 911 call that we might make when our lives are on fire. Now, this always, I guess it perks my ears, because, you know, I know some people, that's the only time they pray, is when they're in a crisis. You know, as long as things are going well with them, you know, they don't think that they need to pray. And believe it or not, I think there are some people who believe that the only time you're supposed to pray is when you're in a crisis. They don't understand. They have not been taught about the communion and the fellowship with God. We have not chosen to pray in line with God's heart or his word. You know, when you start looking at all of those other things, people who do that. Many of us have wasted our breath praying vain repetitions. God cannot hear this type of prayer. And because he can't hear us, he can't answer us. Amen? Isn't that something? Vain repetitions. And then he goes on, he says, well, what is prayer? And then I made a note, prayer is spiritual. Okay, you got to remember that. It is spiritual. Prayer is a conversation or a dialogue between our born-again, recreated spirit and God. God is spirit, and we talk and pray to him with our spirit. John 4, 23, 24 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Although the main reason why we have a close relationship with the Father is to have communion with him, prayer also has other facets with which we can make different kinds of prayer, not just one kind. Remember, I told you all, I guess I told y'all, I don't know, that might have been last year. You know, when I read, this man was talking about different kind of prayer. I mean, what is he talking? And I could not receive. I could not receive. You know, he was talking about the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of praise, the prayer of intercession. You know, he was talking about all of that, and it's like, what is this man talking about? All I knew was Our Father prayer. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. But thank God, you know, he said, if you can't receive it now, put it on the shelf, you know, and you'll come back to it. And sure enough, as I began to hang around this bunch, as I call us now, then I began to understand the different types of prayer. And I could go back and I could get that book and I could read that book. And then I could really, really understand what he was talking about. Okay, so that's different kinds of prayer.
The author says, why is it difficult for believers to pray? He says, prayer is a spiritual, remember that, exercise that is hard to accomplish. He says it's hard to accomplish because, and I think some people think it's hard to accomplish. Let's put it that way. Some people think it's hard to accomplish because it implies that we must be disciplined in that area before we can achieve positive results. So why is it difficult for believers to pray? Number one, the flesh is weak. That's number one. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, now, when I read this, I want you to find yourself. Or find the way you used to be. Okay, you're not that way anymore. Say, I'm not that way anymore. Okay, all right. The flesh is weak. The author says that the old man and the old nature, that which we used to be, does not enjoy prayer. Okay, does not enjoy prayer. Our body is always tired. Are you listening? It wants to sleep longer. Talking about your body. It refuses to wake up early. Talking about your body, okay? And it's always finding ways to excuse the fact it does not want to pray. If we understand this from the beginning, if you understand, my body does not want to pray. You got to understand that. My body is not going to cooperate with me, okay? My spirit man wants to have that fellowship with God. I am born again. My spirit man wants to have that fellowship. He says, if we understand that from the beginning, we can do something about crucifying the flesh and putting it under submission. Now, I don't think our author gave us this verse, but there is the verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Put that in your notes. And he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay? So the main thing is, you know, remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. We are born again where? In our spirit. In our spirit. Our soul and our bodies, they are not born again. And that body, you know, it's of this world. It's of the earth. And it does not want to cooperate, you know. It will tell you, you know, we do early morning prayer. It will tell you, oh, I'm so sleepy. And I want you to know, it is so sleepy sometimes. It is so sleepy. It's like, oh, my God, what is this? And I've always bragged that I'm a morning person, and I really am. I have been a morning person all of my life. When I was in college, I can remember I would go to bed at 10 o'clock and get up at 2. That was just me, you know. And I could finish typing papers at 2 o'clock in the morning. I could finish reading chapters, and I was alert. And I could go until about 9 o'clock that night, you know. I was just a morning person. And so it was the hardest thing for me to understand what is happening. And I keep saying, I'm a morning person. I like early morning. And, you know, and it's like so sleepy. And it's like so, it's the body. It does not want to pray. Okay, the body refuses. But what we have to do, what is he telling us in this verse? We have to bring that body under subjection. And we have to say, we are going to get up and we are going to pray. And we are going to enjoy it. You know, you got to tell it that. You got to be just like that. You can't let your body rule you. Okay? Amen. And then remember now, you also have to renew your mind. What you're doing in this class, you're learning about why we're praying. What's the importance of praying? So your soul is getting that idea, oh my, I need to pray. Okay? And so when your soul and your spirit, Apostle talked about that, when they get together, when they team up, then the body is going to fall in line. Okay? It's going to automatically just fall in line. So, again, why is it difficult? Number one, he says the flesh is weak. Number two, he says, you know, for some of us, the results are never equivalent to the time we invest in prayer. We see no results. And what he's talking about, no immediate results. We think if I pray today, I should see it tomorrow. Or at least by next week. Give me 7 days. Just give me 7 days, you know. Doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And in this lesson, you know, he's going to talk about it a little bit later. And then he says, why is it difficult for believers to pray? He says, prayer is an investment. To receive answers to our needs, we must invest a lot of our time in prayer. And he said we must do it continually. And I'm going to put in the word consistently. You know, continually, consistently, until we obtain the victory. Number four, why is it difficult? Because we have no idea how to pray for long periods of time. He says one reason why many people find it difficult to pray is because after 5 or 10 minutes, they run out of words to say. They don't know what to say. They're at a loss as to what to say next. And instead of persevering in prayer, they give up, feeling frustrated. Now, we all know the answer to that. Praying in the Spirit. Amen. Praying in the Spirit. Okay? That's the answer for that one. And then number five, he says, why is it difficult? He says, we lack understanding on the whole subject of prayer. We don't understand prayer. There's a lack of understanding on how to ask God for something. And what we're learning and what Apostle was teaching us, I bet, you know, about the grace and the faith. Remember, it's already done. It's already done. So once you know that it's already done, and then you're praying knowing that what I'm asking for is already done, and then you take your faith. And I don't know if he said it in that class, but he said, our faith, it's the bridge. It is the bridge between, you know, us asking God and what it is that we want. And, you know, the thing that we want is going to cross the bridge and come to us. Amen. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. It's going to use that bridge, that faith bridge. But you're the one who built your faith bridge. Remember that. You know, you're the one, your faith, by your faith. So a lot of times, you know, we're not praying in faith. So when the thing that we believe in God for doesn't cross over, you know, we say, well, what's happened? It don't work. It don't work. Yeah, it worked. It worked. You built a bridge that couldn't handle it. Amen. So there's a lack of understanding how to ask God for something. And then he says, sometimes we don't know what to do when God begins to speak to us in prayer. Now, first of all, you got to know that when you're praying, sometimes God is going to speak to you. And when he speaks, what am I supposed to do? Amen. What am I supposed to do? Yeah. You know, so you listen. You got to constantly listen. You know, he'll speak a word. Sometimes he'll give instructions. Sometimes you got to wait for the instructions. He'll speak a word about what's going to happen, but then that's it. That's all he tell you, you know, and sometimes it's just a wait. You got to just wait for it. Amen. So you got to know what to do when God speaks to us, and then how to pray in line with God's word. Okay. Not knowing how to pray in the Spirit and a total lack of understanding as to the meaning of prayer can frustrate us, leaving us with the final outcome, which is to give up our desire to pray. And all of this is, he's just talking about, you know, why some believers, or why is it difficult sometimes for believers to pray. Now, we know a little bit about this proper, he says, what is the proper physical posture for prayer? I don't know if some of you were like me, but I grew up, the only way I knew was to be on your knees. And I can remember a time, man, when I didn't get on my knees to pray, I felt like something was wrong. Like I had cursed God. You know, no, you're not, you know, you got to kneel down. You got to kneel down. Well, sometimes the Lord will instruct you to kneel. Sometimes he will instruct you to lay flat on your face, you know. But it doesn't mean that he's not hearing you if you're standing up. You know, now I stand a lot. You know, I pray walking around, especially like in our prayer meeting. Sometimes I pray sitting down. Amen. So it's not about the physical posture. You know, we learn in the apostles' first session about our heavenly position. You know, praying from a heavenly position. That's another position, and it's, believe it or not, it's the most important position. All those natural physical positions mean nothing compared to praying from your heavenly position. Amen. The author makes a couple of statements. He says the thing that makes prayer effective is not the physical position that we assume while in prayer, but it is our heartfelt attitude towards God. We should always have a joyful attitude, a holy reverence, and an attitude of thanksgiving, there we go, and faith. Many people talk about and write about prayer, but only a few practice what they preach. And then he gives a sad commentary. Now this is training, the training center here. You know, some are ministers, some are ministry of helps. But it was amazing, you know, because he's talking about the survey was of the leadership in the church. And the question was asked, how often do you pray or how much do you pray? And he was just like astounded that there were leaders who didn't pray but maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it wasn't consistent, you know? And he makes this statement, and I want y'all to hear this. If the spiritual condition of our leadership is weak and feeble, then the spiritual condition of those under our responsibility is going to be worse than ours. Isn't that something? And so that's why we need men and women in church, in leadership, you know, to be strong in the word, strong in prayer, because otherwise, you know, the folks under us, now we can understand, you know, the condition of some of the churches that some of us came from, you know. I mean, I can see it. I can see it where I came from many years ago. You know, was it consistent? I mean, probably not, you know. But I do know now that my apostle, like I told y'all before, he prays. He prays hours and hours and hours. And he has done this, you know, ever since I've been here. And I've been here 20-something years, 25 years. Well, I say 25, but then I hung around a couple of years before I acknowledged my membership. So it's a little bit more than 25. Amen. Amen. Okay. But anyway, so the main thing is to pray and to study God's word, especially if you're going to be in leadership, and to be consistent. You know, anybody who's in leadership can't get by with just 5 minutes. You know, you're not going to pray just 5 minutes and really, really make it. Okay. So, I mean, that's between you and God, how long? I mean, I know our pastor, our apostle prays hours, but, you know, amen. Amen. I mean, you know, I used to hear people talk a long time for 1 hour, 1 hour. Well, okay, all right, that's between you and God. Amen. He says, why is prayer a necessity? Luke 18 and 1, that's in your book. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I like it when an apostle says, you know, he says, well, if you don't pray, what's going to happen? You're going to faint. That's it. You're going to faint. You're going to get weak. And you're going to see some other things that could happen a little bit later on in this lesson. And then, you know, and we have gone over this before. I think our author gave us some of this in a previous chapter. He says, why should we pray if God is sovereign over all things and he does whatever he wants to do? And wherever he wants to do it, you know, and he just gave us, remember before he gave us maybe about 6 or 7 of those about, you know, well, if God is all of this, then why do we need to pray? He says there are many biblical reasons why God wants us to invest time in prayer. And then he starts with number one, God operates through human beings. And remember, we looked at that before, about God needs a body and a spirit, remember? And then we also talked about that Satan sometimes uses a body with a spirit. He uses it for evil. God uses it for good. Amen? And then we can find that in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man, remember, in our image, in our likeness. That's what that says. God created man and called him Adam. Okay? I've heard some people pronounce that Adam. And there's a meaning behind that word, Adam or Adam. And it means humanity. You will see that again. It means humanity. And it says, a human being, a man made of flesh and bones, and the one to whom God gave total dominion and lordship over his creation. God wants his perfect will to be done through humanity, through a human being. Man is God's representative on earth. He is responsible to execute God's dominion and authority. God uses man, he says here, to do his job. That's our author. That's what our author says. And then he goes on, he gives the explanation, you know, that God could do anything he wants, but this is the way God, excuse me, has set it up. He has set it up so that he created man in his image and his likeness, and he has decided that he wants to use man to accomplish his will here on the earth. Amos 3:7, he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amen. He's going to find him a man or a woman to reveal his secrets to. And we are so thankful here at Word of Life Christian Center, because God is revealing some things unto our apostle. Amen. And I mean, you know, he's not being selfish with it. You know, he's you know, as God gives it to him, he gives it not just to Word of Life Christian Center. He's giving it to the body of Christ. Amen. He calls special meetings. He puts it on the internet. You know, he says, now, this is what God has given me. He's sharing this secret with me, this revelation with me. And so I'm going to share it with the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. He says, God needs human hands to deliver healing. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I need somebody to lay my hands. Now, he could do it however you want to do it. But God wants a man or a woman to lay hands for healing. He says, God wants human mouths to speak his words. He wants human feet to travel throughout the nations and to be his representatives. God needs his children to pray and to intercede, thus making it possible for him to fulfill his plans and his purpose. And that's what it's all about. It's all about him. He wants you to do these things. He's anointing you. He's empowering you so that you can go ahead and carry out his plan and his purpose. Amen. Yeah, Reverend Montrell shocked us on Sunday. You know, I'm just sitting up there, you know, when he said it, he was talking about Jesus and I can't say the whole words. Who remembers the words that he used? You remember how he said it? About Jesus and did he say he didn't die for us? Yeah, he didn't die. He didn't die for us. He didn't die. He said, he didn't die for you. And he was just laughing. But then he began to explain that Jesus was being obedient to the Father. It was the Father's will. Amen? It was the Father's will for Jesus to die. And I'm not doing it justice, okay? Because that's, you know, he said it the way he said it. I mean, the whole church was just, you know, because we could see it. You know, we could see it. But it was all about the Father's will. Amen. And that's what we have to be about. And I think a lot of times we don't focus enough on the Father's will. What you want? Lord, what you want? You know, what you want me to pray about today? Amen. Who you want me to talk to today? It's all about him. It's all about him. Amen. So if Jesus was only concerned about the Father's will, then you know we have to be concerned about the Father's will and what does the Father want. Amen. Amen. So we were talking about our hands, and we talked about our mouths. We talked about our feet. We talked about us interceding. He says, and I think I've shared this before, there are many plans and projects of God that have yet to be fulfilled because there is a shortage of men and women who are willing to give birth to these in the spirit. And we're talking about through prayer. Amen. You know, God is just waiting. He's just waiting. You know, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I really, really want to do this, but I need somebody. You know, and when we look at Ezekiel 22 and 30, and he says, I sought for a man. Amen. To stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. And then, you know, sad commentary. See, I found none. Amen. But we're learning. We are learning that when he wants somebody to intercede, when he wants somebody to pray, could be for another person, could be for a church, could be for a nation, could be for a vision, could be for a building, you know, whatever. All he needs is some man, some woman to pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And what you're doing, it's not your will. You're praying God's will. And he'll give you a burden for it. He'll give you a burden for it. You know, you're going to find out, I'm not sure if it's in this lesson, but it says, God gives us the will to do of his, it is in this lesson, of his good pleasure. And so, you know, when you sense that, a lot of times we just, brush it off. We don't pay much attention to it. But he needs us. God needs us to pray for his will to be done. Amen. Amen. We're going to stop here. Read chapter 3 and be ready for next week. Amen. Amen. And if you have not heard the lesson from October 12th, Praying Grace, please do that.